This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
Spoiler alert! What Did You Watch This Week is a candid discussion about recent movies and TV shows, and it may contain spoilers if you haven't watched them yet. Listen at your own risk.
Episode number 137 of What Did You Watch This Week? My name is Mike.
My name is John.
What's up?
I don't have a lot to report on this week.
Neither do I. Next week.
Talk to you later. No, that's terrible. No, I got a couple of movies, some shows, and no trailers, really. No news.
Did I see a trailer? I saw a trailer. I got some news.
Nice.
That's some news. I'm going to start out with a news item myself.
Okay.
Because I want to talk about this first.
Okay.
Did you see a rumor mill going that Jodie Whittaker is leaving Doctor Who after next season?
What? No.
Yeah. Yeah, her and the new showrunner. I guess he doesn't like how Backshop's going over there at BBC on the show. This season's already been filmed and they filmed the special.
Yeah.
And I guess they're already in pre-production on next season, season 12. But it looks like he's leaving it. But allegedly, he's going to leave after that season.
He is or she is?
He is.
Okay.
And if he's gone, then she's gone.
Huh. Interesting.
Yeah.
I've been enjoying it.
I've been enjoying it thoroughly.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Hmm.
That would suck.
That would suck. Although, I'll be perfectly honest, I haven't watched last night's episode yet. Well, you figure it came on as I was getting ready for bed.
Well, I don't know what time you go to bed.
Yeah, I go to bed around like 9, 10 o'clock now because, you know, I'm an old man.
It's Monday, by the way.
Yeah, and then I got home from work and basically ate dinner and...
Well, it's on at 8 o'clock.
Did some shopping.
Even I watched it live at 8 o'clock last night on the BBC America app.
I didn't watch it, what can I say?
You should have.
I should have. Because every headline that I saw said, this was a great episode. This was amazing.
I don't think it was the best episode of the season, but it was a good episode.
I didn't say that it was the best episode. Although there was one that said that it was the best episode of the season.
I'm saying I don't think it was the best episode of the season.
But you think it was good?
Every episode's been good.
Yeah, it really
has. This was the first episode where they went back in time.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're in the 1700s.
They went back in time to Rose Parks.
To the 1700s, I'm saying.
Oh, okay.
And this is the first time where her being a woman is affecting her ability to get things
doctor.
Done. Yep.
Her ability to doctor.
Yeah, because she even made mention, like, if I was a man, this wouldn't even be an issue.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, because I was wondering
gender inequality.
I was wondering when that was going to be addressed.
Right.
So, yeah. Well, it's the late 1700s in England, so.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, she's lesser than.
Yep. I could see that.
By her gender alone.
So. Yaz must have loved that.
She didn't really say a lot about it. She wasn't around, I don't think, during that scene when that was mentioned and brought up. So. But
gotcha.
It's definitely a good episode.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. So. But yeah, so I wanted to bring that news tidbit up first thing.
I hope that doesn't happen. I hope that
I do too.
I hope they stick around, because that would certainly not bode well if... you know, new showrunner, new doctor, first female doctor, and they're like, nope, done after season and a half.
Two seasons.
Hmm. Yeah. Huh. So what else you got?
More news or something, or?
No, I was just going to jump into some shows here.
Okay.
Do you watch Supergirl?
Okay, so just real quick, it's Monday the 26th, yep. Right? So we're talking about...
It's Cyber Monday!
So we're talking about shows prior to today, essentially, and yesterday, because I didn't watch yesterday's Supergirl.
Correct, I didn't either.
But I watched the previous one.
Yes.
Yes, I did. It's the one where, the Thanksgiving episode, essentially,
mm-hmm.
where the Patriots, or whatever they call themselves...
Sons of Liberty.
Close enough. But the Sons of Liberty went and marked houses that have roaches in them.
Yep.
And
they're gonna, with ultraviolet paint.
And they're going to go bash the houses in on Thanksgiving and attack them.
Because they have dogs that are specially trained to sniff out aliens.
Yeah.
How do you suppose that works? Does that mean every alien smells the same
and they all smell different than humans? I saw the big glaring issue with that. With that as well, yeah.
They also rain down their manifesto from the sky.
Yep.
In one area.
Yep.
Yeah.
One part of town.
Yep, one part of that one town.
Right after Manchester and Supergirl, Manchester beats up those three guys and Supergirl helps out or whatever.
Yep. Yeah. So their grassroots movement is quite literally grassroots. It's like it's like this one city block.
Right.
They're getting a lot of traction in this one area. They all hate the president of the United States, but it only seems to really be affecting this one spot.
Right. The new general there for the
The racist woman.
Yeah, she doesn't like aliens.
Yes.
Yeah.
You're like, she's not racist, she's black.
Right. Well, yeah, that's where it caught me off, yeah. Anyways, her telling Supergirl not to stop crime just seems odd. Were you told to patrol that area? No, I'm Supergirl. I do whatever I want.
Right.
You know, like, I'm all about truth, justice, and the American way. I help people, even if it's not my patrol zone.
Right.
Like, that would just seem dumb. Because, all right. Is this a world organization?
Yeah.
But they seem to be just kind of located, you know, right in this one town, right in Central City there, whatever it is. And,
you know, when you have somebody like Superman or Supergirl who have these powers of a god.
Yeah.
Can fly anywhere at super speed and blah, blah, blah. They should be taking on global issues. You know, they should be helping people around the world. That was always one of Superman's things. Remember in Superman 1, Superman 2, you know, he was flying around the world rescuing people everywhere. Like Metropolis and Niagara Falls, and, you know, the Metropolis again. But anyway, you know, they have the ability to be everywhere, so they should be. But instead, we get her apartment,
right,
where everybody shows up for Thanksgiving, and then everybody excuses themselves two at a time.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, the two of us are stepping out in the hallway. You guys stay here. So, wait, the two of us should go out there, too.
And they gave the transgender girl narcolepsy now? Because... that must be a cover, I'm assuming.
She's a superhero named Dreamer.
Yeah.
And it's going to play into her origin and everything. Because notice she didn't want a doctor to check her out.
Right, right.
You know? So, yeah. Uh-oh.
Yeah. So anyways, I don't know.
I still enjoy the show.
Oh, yeah, I don't hate it.
I still like watching it. I really liked Spike, the pet lizard dragon.
Yeah, that was cool.
Yeah, pet lizard, and they broke the cage, and the daughter's like, Spike, help us.
So, no, here's the thing. Is the alien that was on the property, was that the pet, or was it the people?
Right.
I think it was the pet.
I think it was both. I think that he was, like, a pet of theirs as their aliens, and that's why they were so cool with him being a dragon. But
maybe they just... Because it's a dragon, and who doesn't want a dragon for a pet, if possible?
I can think of a few people.
Yeah. I said if possible.
Yeah, yeah.
We got the Elseworlds coming up.
Yes.
That'll be awesome.
Yes. Although, it's interesting that in the Elseworlds, like, everything seems to change. Like, Barry is the Green Arrow, and, you know, Steve McQueen there is Flash.
Yeah.
And... Supergirl's just imprisoned.
You mean Steve Amell?
Yeah.
Steve McQueen.
Whatever. Same thing.
Not really. No. One's dead.
No. Steve McQueen is a director now.
No, that's a different Steve McQueen. That's like Stephen
McQueen. How do you know McQueen? That wasn't the one that I was talking about?
Because you would have specifically said A. McQueen or whatever his middle initial is.
Gotcha.
But he is like the great, he's related to the original Steve McQueen. That's why he's called Steve McQueen.
But yeah, so the thing with Supergirl in Elseworlds is she's just being locked up by her sister, you know? It's not like her and her sister swapped bodies or anything. Alex is like, I don't know you. You're an alien. I'm locking you up.
Well, don't forget, in this world, we also have Superman from an alternate universe in the black costume.
Mm.
We have John Wesley Shipp as The Flash, Barry Allen The Flash from the 1990 series The Flash in that costume.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting.
And then recently, Steve Amell posted that photo. Did you see it?
No.
He posted a photo of him and a couple of guys sitting in an office, and he goes, really excited about this one. It's Tom Welling and Michael Rosenbaum.
Shut up.
Yeah.
Really?
Yes. So the scuttlebutt rumor is they're going to be in Elseworlds.
That would be awesome.
Superman, Clark Kent, and Lex Luthor.
That would be awesome.
Wouldn't it, though?
That would be great.
Like, they've tied in the original Flash now.
But you know what they're going to do?
What?
Instead, they're going to bring them in as, like, Batman and Robin or something.
No,
or like,
because...
Or, like, Aquaman. They need to bring Justin Hartley on
right,
as Aquaman.
Yeah, exactly.
Grab him from This Is Us for an episode and throw him in there as Aquaman.
Right.
You could just be like... I feel like I need a bow or something.
It's a nod to the pilot, you know, right. The unnamed pilot or whatever.
And then tell him that he needs a bow so that it's a nod to him being Green Arrow in Smallville. And, yeah.
But yeah, no, I mean, they're bringing in John Wesley Shipp to play Barry Allen in Flash from the original 1990 series. And it looks like they're bringing in Michael Rosenbaum and Tom Welling to play Lex Luthor and Clark Kent. Maybe we'll see him in the Superman outfit finally.
Maybe he'll finally fill it out.
Wouldn't that be a payoff?
Seeing him on Lucifer, that kid got jacked. So
you know, maybe we'll see them. You know, at the Smallville crossing over now, and then what's left? Bring Linda Carter to this world as Wonder Woman.
Well, she's already the president.
But she's
Supergirl.
Right. But it's an alternate universe.
Right?
So she could be Wonder Woman.
That'd be hilarious.
Wouldn't that be? I can't think of any other live action series unless you had like. Burt Ward do a cameo.
Oh my god!
But he couldn't actually be Robin.
Oh!
But if you got Burt Ward to do a cameo,
imagine if Adam West was still alive and they managed to get him to be like the old Batman.
Yeah, gosh, that kind of would be cool. Man, if they got him to be the old Batman to Ruby Rose's Batwoman type thing, what's the storyline where the old Batman where he's in
Batman Beyond?
Like the Batman Beyond storyline, but have it be Batwoman instead.
Mm.
But anyways, regardless. You know,
that's kind of cool shit.
I mean, so that kind of, I can't believe you didn't see either one of those two bits of news.
Dude, I've been really busy this week.
Yeah, but no, that was the big thing that popped up, you know, like, say what you want, Stephen Amell really loves this DC world.
Yeah.
You know, that he's creating, and with him, you know, being the primary force, bringing Constantine back.
Yeah.
Everything else, even if Arrow isn't, like, my favorite right now, you got to respect what he's doing to
absolutely
this universe.
Yep.
So,
got to give credit where credit is due.
But, you know, they're bringing in Lois Lane, and they're bringing in Batwoman, so.
And they're bringing in Lex Luthor eventually, and John Cryer.
Yeah.
Interesting to see what he does with that.
But they can bring in Michael Rosenbaum as, you know, Lex Luthor from the alternative universe.
Right. And, I mean, hey.
Earth 27 or
everybody
whatever.
Everybody said that Jesse Eisenberg would make a terrible Lex Luthor.
They were right.
They were absolutely
they were
fucking
absolutely
right.
Absolutely right.
But, yeah. I mean, to the point where even the fans are like, well, maybe he's Alexander Luther and he's not really Lex.
Yeah. Huh. I can't believe you. Okay. I guess I'll do my one more.
Dude, like I said, I've got no news. Like, I usually have like six or seven things. And I got nothing.
I'm going to save that last bit of news then for later.
Okay. Tease me with it.
Yeah. So,
Arrow?
I didn't watch Arrow.
Okay.
Did you watch it?
It's more prison stuff. Although now it looks like they've caught Diaz. They finally caught him.
Oh, good.
And his team of supervillains turned on him. They were like, yeah, whatever. And they just, like, walked casually off screen. I mean, it was really anticlimactic. Like, they knocked him down, and he's just – the three of them are like, meh. And they throw up some fireworks, and then walk off the screen like, all right, we're done. So he's been captured, and Oliver's going to get out of prison legitimately because he's going to help the DA with a case against Diaz. Like, they don't already have a case against Diaz, but, you know.
Legends.
Oh, my fucking God.
Tsugumo Attacks.
Oh, my God.
This was awesome.
This was awesome.
1951 Japan.
There was so much awesome in this.
Yeah. 1951 Japan. There's a magic book this guy found or had or whatever, and he writes in it and draws in it, and
it's drawn to creative types from a Celtic goddess.
There we go. And it's full. He draws like this sea creature, octopus that's going to attack this Tokyo and level it and on and on and on, and it makes it come true.
Yep.
So the legends have to go stop him.
Because he thinks back, he can't get it out of his head about all the destruction of Hiroshima
yeah.
and Nagasaki. And So he tries to imagine it instead that it was a giant squid that destroyed it. But however the story is written is how it has to progress. And he wrote it that the place is destroyed, the squid wins.
And essentially Mick gets talked into writing in the book, writing because he's a writer.
Right, because it doesn't work for the guy anymore. He's already written his story.
Exactly. So Mick's got to write his story, and he creates a story of Garima or Garima.
The three-breasted
bounty hunter.
I love how he's like, I was thinking about adding a fourth boob. The guy's like, no, three is perfect.
Yeah. And she shows up and battles the giant octopus and destroys it and kills it. And they do it in the model of the little town, city. Mm-hmm. So it wrecks it. And the guy films the whole thing. And I love the plane gets dislodged and comes in and explodes. And she defeats him. And then she comes over and kisses Rory. And I mean, yeah, Mick, I mean, whatever. And I think one of them reads the story, and the ending is them make passionate love.
Yep. And it looks like we're out of here.
You hear like crash. Like, oh, we got to go. We got to go. Let's go. So.
But it was so much fun watching, you know, the fights against the ridiculous giant squid.
I loved it.
It was
cheesy. It was like so a 1951 51's costume, if you will.
To the point where at the end, Rory walks up to him and he's like, hey, giant lizard would be much better.
Yeah.
And he actually says, you know, giant lizard.
Yeah, he goes, they're king. And he goes, you know, like, I was like, Kaiju, are you? You know?
Yes. It's like, yeah. And then we had the B story where basically John is sick. Constantine is sick. He's drained of magic.
Yes.
They need to find Nora Dark to do a magic transplant. And then when they do, which is very easy, she basically is like, I can do this, but it's going to be bad. And John says, don't you let him do it, because you have to take a life for a life. So to transport the magic into him, she would have to kill somebody. But Ray finds a way around it, of course he does, using the electrical systems of the ship.
But he also tells her, don't do this for him, don't do this for me, do this for yourself or whatever.
Yeah.
But she does it.
Yep.
Yep.
Gets John back on his feet.
And she sees a flash of a black fella.
Yeah.
And she's like, who is that? And he's like, never you mind, lass.
Mm-hmm.
And then Ray gives her the time watch and says, run, go as far as you can. Don't tell me where you're going, blah, blah, blah. And she's like, no. And then she zaps him to the time bureau. She's like, I got to turn myself in.
Yep.
I got to stop running. I just need to face my crimes and own up to what happened.
Yeah. Now.
And Ray is clearly madly in love with her.
Oh, absolutely. Now, there was a third story in here.
Okay. I love the delivery girl.
Okay, there was a fourth story. The delivery girl is phenomenal.
Yeah.
Love her. Because this is the second time we've seen her.
Yes. Gary orders food again. She shows up. She goes, what's the time bureau? Anyways, what do you guys do? He's like, we regulate time zones.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Which he told her last time, and then he wiped her memory, and now she's back, and he's like, oh, we already went over this. Okay. But it turns out that, you know, her food saved the day, because she knows exactly what kind of food these mythical monsters that broke out of the containment area would like to eat.
Exactly.
And gets them the food, and they were just hangry.
Yeah, they were hangry.
They were hangry.
Yeah, because, what's his face?
Nate.
Was he looked at, like, his little nephews and how they act. He's like, I've seen this before. These guys are hangry.
So that was it. The fourth story was Nate and Ava were supposed to be at Nate's house for Thanksgiving. Now, they were trying to do the old classic sitcom cover-up. You know, Nate went to the Time Bureau to fix things, and Ava was going to cover for him. But, you know, they wanted Nate to carve the turkey, and he's in the bathroom. Well, I'll go check on him.
No, let's everyone say what we're thankful for.
Yeah.
Now let's say a prayer.
And that was painful, but it was okay because, it's this show.
Yeah.
And finally, Nate's dad goes with her, and he's like, all right, what's going on? She's like, the animals broke out, or the mythical beasts broke out at the thing. And he's like, well, let's go save my son.
Yeah.
And they go there, and they see all the beasts eating, and, you know, everybody's calmed down. And he's like, oh, you did a good job containing this. Best line of the entire show.
Yeah.
Best friggin' line.
Yeah. I had to pause it from laughing and then yell across through my room. Did you watch Legends? Did you see what Biff said?
Biff says, let's make like a tree. And leave. And Nate goes, I don't think that's how it goes. He goes,
and leave.
Yeah.
Yeah. He goes, yeah. And he's like, yeah, I'm pretty sure that's how that goes.
Because it's, let's make like a tree and get out of here.
Yeah. Let's make like a tree and get out of here. It's leave, you idiot. Make like a tree and leave.
Once again, they just...
Yeah.
It's like last week when they had the review of the episode that was the AV Club review.
Yeah.
You know, the fact they just slid that in there and they're like, most people aren't going to get this. We got it.
Yeah, let's make up a tree and leave. Yeah, that's... I don't think that's it, Dad. I like the fact he got it wrong, but it was different.
Mm-hmm. So perfect. Yeah, I did. I had to pause the show because I was laughing so hard.
I was like, bro, did you watch Legends? Yes, I did. Did you see what Biff said?
Yes, I did.
It was good. That was a good episode. It was fun.
Yes.
I mean, there was four stories going on, and they were all four interesting.
They were.
And I hope they don't zap Delivery Girl's memory this time. They didn't by the end of the episode.
Right. I hope they keep her around.
I think she needs to work there. Because she's hilarious.
Yeah.
Oh, that's the other thing. She brought up food, and Gary's like, oh, what are you doing for Thanksgiving? She's like, oh, well, my family's all gone out of town, so I'm going to eat some ramen with my cat. And so he was like, oh, well, you should hear. I have enough for – oh, look, I happen to have a setup for two people. And, you know, I have enough food for two people. You're a vegetarian, aren't you? You know, like he is clearly crushing on
Yes. Her. Yes, big time. So,
and then at the end, also Hank is like launch Operation Hades, whatever that is.
Yeah, next week.
He's like, they can be contained.
Week. Yeah. Yeah, basically he it sounds like they want to weaponize these mythical beasts.
Yep.
Yeah, because this week is going to be the audit, where he basically goes around with them and, you know, says,
yes.
Does it really take six of you to do this? Yeah, which will probably be hilarious as well.
It probably will be. I think they got the right guy.
They did. Yeah.
I think they got the right guy.
He's another Josh Brolin, you know?
Yeah.
Who was great in the Back to the Future movies and then kind of disappeared for the most part. So Flash?
Flash. Icicle?
Savior of the Universe. Queen doing the Flash Gordon theme song.
Right.
Yeah.
It was okay.
We got a lot more answers about Caitlin.
Yeah, we did.
And not only did we get answers about Caitlin, but they actually like did the right thing and tied it back to DeVoe and what he had done.
Yes.
You know? But basically Caitlin goes on a trek.
Well, they find her dad.
Yeah.
They use the DeVoe satellites, and they find where her dad is.
Now that they were finally smart enough to go, wait, there's four more satellites up there.
Right. And, Iris and her daughter and Sherlock head off to find the satellite that crashed.
Right.
Because they can try and figure out who was injured by it, to try and figure out who Cicada is.
Right. Yeah.
So that's their story.
Yep.
And then we don't really see Joe.
No.
But we see
Cicada.
We see Cicada and some woman that knows him, and he's injured.
And she's a nurse at the hospital, and she seems to know what his mission is, and she supports it.
Yeah.
She doesn't want him dead, but she's like, I need you alive so that we can take out these Metas.
Right. Because at the very beginning, he takes on a Meta who has, like, sword hands.
Mm, she was the T-1000.
Yeah, basically. And he manages to kill her by boomeranging his...
Dagger,
whatever, but he takes a good licking in the process. And that kind of puts him out of commission for most of the episode. And then, right. And then we have Stretch Fella. Can't think of his name.
Dibney. Ralph.
Yeah. And Mama Cecile.
Yeah.
And they head off to shake down this FEMA guy to get a list of all the people that got aid after the incident.
Right, because he was probably one of them.
Yeah, and at first, like, he deters them, and she's like, she, like, you know, then finally, you know, Stellar got her groove back when she went back, and she's like, you've been fraudulently taking people's money, denying their claims, and putting them through and pocketing the money for yourself.
Saying that he has, like, a Lamborghini or something.
$200,000 car or some shit, yeah.
Yeah.
But they get what they want.
Because they realize that she may not be able to read minds, but she is an empath now.
Exactly.
And so she was picking up on his evasiveness, and now she's like, no, I'm going in here with righteous fury. Yeah.
And then the main story, which is they find Caitlin's dad.
Yes.
And they do that thing where they bring him back to Star Labs, and he's helping them out, and everybody's all happy.
Everybody accepts him fully, except...
Except one guy, except Cisco gets a bad vibe from him.
That's
which,
right.
His fucking name is Vibe.
Yeah.
And you'd think they'd believe him. But no, yet when he talks to him about it, the blind Caitlin's blind. No, this is my dad.
Yeah.
And you need to go, Cisco.
Yeah. She kicks her friend out.
Yeah.
The guy who's been the most loyal to her of everyone.
Well, she's blinded by finally having her daddy back.
I mean, they were friends and working together before Barry woke up.
Yep. And then, you know, he talks to Barry. And even Barry at first is, you know, like trying to, you know, Caitlin, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then he goes like, Barry, look at this as your as a forensic analysis, not as, you know, Caitlin's best friend.
Yeah.
And he looks at it in the way he does. And then finally, like, they tell Caitlin, and Caitlin's like, oh, my God, you're right. Because basically he's trying to – they've determined that much like Caitlin has Killer Frost, her dad has some other side to him. And the using her cells to make this injection, I can't think of the word now, is going to basically shut off all his human side of things. And just bring out his Frost side of things, if you will.
And yeah, so, for him, he went full dark side.
And that's what he wants to have.
Yes.
So, yes, it's Caitlin's dad, but no, it's not. It's basically like if Caitlin's Killer Frost personality was the dominant and was still evil.
Right, right.
So, of course, he's like, oh, yes, you figured it out. So I'm going to breathe ice at you.
Oh, but remember, this all takes place. This big showdown is going to be taking place at the newly constructed Defense Department's sub-cold super freezer facility. Well,
prior to that, I mean.
Yeah.
They're still at Star Labs. Oh, he breathes ice into the air and they all pass out from
right,
it.
Right, right, right.
Because they're
after they found him this place.
Right.
You know, where they'd basically be able to, you know, get the air and him down to, like,
negative
absolute zero. Yep.
Some shit, yeah. So, of course, they go to stop him. And everyone's affected by it by Caitlin because it's cold and she's not. And then she brings Killer Frost out.
Yeah, it was interesting. You know, they're watching all the different temperatures. Everybody's body temperature is lowering and lowering and lowering and lowering. But Caitlin's is just staying there to a cool 98.6.
Yeah.
And they're like, that must mean that she's in you. And then they come to realize that, you know, they always thought that DeVoe used the melting pot's power and took away the DNA of Killer Frost, but it was never that.
Yeah.
He used, I can't remember which one it was, but basically he used one of the mental ones and created a block in her brain so that she couldn't access Killer Frost.
Yeah.
And all she had to do was learn to get over it. So then they brought out one of the little mental dampener things that would do the reverse.
Well, that was at the very end.
Yes.
After that, yes. But when Daddy's going to kill all her friends and turn himself evil, and then Killer Frost comes out, and he's like, oh, you're there. My daughter's back. Da, da, da. And she's like, no, I'm not your daughter. This is my family.
Yeah.
Which I thought was cool.
It was.
Because she didn't all of a sudden go back to being evil.
Right.
She's the killer. I like Killer Frost. She's
the cool killer.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, no, these are my friends. These people actually care about me. And so she stops him.
Yep.
Wrecks the solution. And he Iceman's away.
Yeah. Which, I'm like, I hope she's taking note of that. I'm like, oh, hey, I could do that.
Yeah. And then shuts down the machine.
Yep.
And everyone gets saved.
But it was nice to see her back in action and to kick his ass like that.
Yeah.
Like, this is somebody who he's been that for a long time.
Right.
And she was like, no.
Right.
And just wrecked him.
And then everyone's happy to see her.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we're so glad you're back. Because you just saved all our lives. But not just that.
Right.
But you are our friend.
Yeah.
So.
The one thing that I didn't really agree with, and I know they did it for story development and kind of pushing it forward, was the whole, oh, this place is so cold that a speedster can't survive in it, and you can't run fast. Yeah, they can. They could still vibrate. They could still generate static electricity. Right. I mean, they're just laying on the ground going, oh.
Why can't I see my breath?
Oh.
Because it's too cold for moisture to be in the air.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's get Cisco in here. Oh, no, no. Now he's going to crumble too because, you know, he's even more human than the speedsters. His metabolism doesn't work as quickly as theirs.
Right. But otherwise, it was good.
Oh, it was great.
Yeah. I like Flash. Yeah. New Amsterdam. Did you watch it? It's called Three Dots.
Yes.
He's going to do chemo and all the whole nine yards. And then
this was the one that you were worried about because you saw the preview where he was like, I'm not going to do it.
Yeah, because at the end of it, he's like, hey, I'm going to try some alternative medication things and this trial thing. I'm not going to do chemo because I don't want to be a patient.
Right.
Because the chemo is going to knock me on my ass too much. So I got to be able to function still. So I'm going to try something else.
That's right. So that I can still be a doctor.
Right. So.
Doctor!
I didn't really care for that.
What were the three dots?
Has to do with the chemo, I'm assuming, where they insert the chemo, whatever. That's okay. What I'm assuming.
Gotcha.
Eardrum's fluttering.
Mm.
So this week here, the week we're in, the week of the 26th, whatever, is the fall finale for several NBC shows.
Yes.
So next week, we'll have a couple episodes of This Is Us to talk about the fall finale of Manifest.
Yeah, because I didn't get to This Is Us, the Thanksgiving episode.
Yeah. So. I'm about halfway through.
Yeah. Is it good so far? So they said, this is the one that you can't miss.
No, I think that's the fall finale one.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Okay. I think they say it about all of them.
Probably. Yeah, my ear is fluttering now.
Huh.
Feels really weird.
That is odd. Yeah. Is there some sort, like, they say if your palm itches, you're going to get money, and if your ear's ringing, someone's talking about you, so.
I'm thinking I got my hair cut today, maybe I have a piece of hair in there.
Oh, that could be it, yeah. Better? Yep. Do the.
I just got him
to pop his eardrums.
It's just so weird when air comes out your ears.
I know, right? Not if you're a cartoon character.
Well, no.
You get angry enough and the steam comes out.
It's common practice, then.
That's right.
So anyways.
I really wanted to see something shoot out.
I know. Wouldn't it be cool?
Unless you then dropped.
Because then I'd
be like, shite.
I don't want to die.
No.
Anyways, it was an okay episode.
Yeah. It was pretty generic, I guess you'd say.
Oh, like, Chinese girl's depressed and sad. Her mother doesn't want to.
That was kind of cool.
Her mother doesn't. Her mother's just like, oh, you're fine.
Yeah.
And then she jumps in front of a train.
Basically doing, oh, yeah. And
But
saying that it was the Chinese culture, you know,
yes.
They're like, there's no mental illness. You're fine.
Yeah.
It brings shame upon your family.
But when she jumps in front of the train, she does it too soon.
Mm-hmm.
So she actually lands on the track bed and the train just goes over her and picks her up real bad.
Yeah.
As opposed to killing her.
Right. Why did you just bleep yourself there?
I don't know.
Okay.
And then by the end, mom's on board with the something.
Train joke?
Yeah. No, but mom's on board with her talking to a therapist and getting help because clearly something's wrong.
Right. And one of the doctors there, the main doctor, he called it, what was it like? It was the F train syndrome or something like that.
Yeah, because when he was in Chinatown at that new hospital, they got a lot of those.
Yes. Where the women would, especially the women, they would just walk in front of the train to end it all. Because in their culture, it was just, it wasn't even that it was a sign of weakness. It just wasn't accepted.
Right.
It was unacceptable. You didn't talk about it. You didn't do anything about it. Did you watch The Good Doctor?
I did watch The Good Doctor. The big takeaway is at the end, Dr. Glassman's having memory issues from his brain surgery, and he doesn't even remember what Sean's brother's name is.
Yeah.
So that's scary for him. And then I watched both episodes. I watched the episode with the fish, Hubert.
Oh, yeah.
And then I watched the one after that with the parents who bring in their kid that's never had vaccines because they're dangerous.
Right. And then mom does the sneaky thing and goes, yes, we decided as a couple,
vaccinate.
Please do it quickly.
So then they vaccinate him. And then
nothing suspicious there. Please do it quickly, like right now.
So he does it. And then, like, you know, dad's all like,
You did what
to my son? I'm sorry. People are entitled to their beliefs, but this whole don't vaccinate your kids thing is just fucking asinine.
Isn't it weird how some of these beliefs have started rising up around the same time? We've got that one. We've got the flat earth thing where people legitimately, like, I thought this was just like a funny meme one day. There are legitimate groups out there that believe the earth is flat. You can walk to the edge.
Yeah.
You know, they've got maps and charts, and they'll tell you, they'll be like, look, a plane flies from here to here, and look at how it takes this much time, and it doesn't take this much. And why do they do that? It's crazy.
Yeah.
And they're all coming up at the same time.
I don't know. Internet.
Yeah.
I'm still going with internet.
Yeah. Connecting people with
kids. This whole don't vaccinate your kids. Well, there was this one in a million case where someone had an adverse reaction. Yeah, that's true with everything.
Yep.
You know, I had a less than, I had a, oh, there's just a 2% chance that you could get a horrendous infection from a standard vasectomy. And I got one.
Yeah.
I would not tell people not to get one.
You and one other person out of 100.
Right, yeah. You know. So.
100 of you in a room, and they go, okay, raise your hand if you got a horrible life-threatening infection, and there's two of you like,
yeah.
Hello?
Oh, hey, how's it going, buddy?
Bill!
Yeah. What happened to you? Well, I got an abscess. Oh, me too.
Yeah, it used to be, you know, oh, it causes autism. No, that's been disproven a million times over.
It's just like how butter was bad for you, so let's have margarine. Margarine was literally used to fatten turkeys up to make them larger, and it's full of chemicals. It's got, like...
You wait long enough, they change their story.
It's got, like, 100 ingredients, margarine does. Butter has cream.
Salt.
Unless you get unsalted, then right. It's just cream. You know, which one's better for you?
Right. Exactly. Or, like, eggs are bad. They raise your cholesterol. Oh, wait.
Sorry.
Eggs are good.
Good.
They actually have good cholesterol.
Yeah.
But wait, they also have bad. But the good outweighs the bad. Yeah. But the bad outweighs... Wait a week, they'll change their mind.
Bacon's bad. Fuck you.
Right. Or
never.
I always go back to spinach. The reason that Popeye ate spinach was because originally when those USDA findings came out that assigned like iron content, somebody put the decimal point in the wrong place. So it looked like spinach had more iron than any vegetable in the entire world. So that's why they were like, oh, it must be good for muscles. And then when they went back, they were like, oh, crap, it's got almost no nutritional value whatsoever. When you cook it, at least.
I hadn't heard that one. That's funny.
Yeah, all by a decimal point. But I mean, no, right, it's now just... it's romaine.
Yeah, romaine lettuce is going to kill you.
Yep.
Yeah.
And of course, we're getting all the jokes about, oh, what if the Titanic had been sunk by romaine instead of iceberg?
Ooh. Yeah. But it's just, there's always something.
Yes.
There's always something.
Yep. But vaccines exist for a reason.
Right.
You know?
Like, I just actually saw a thing on the news today, or this morning. Or I work night shift, folks, okay? So it was at some point in the last 24 hours I saw
it. I like how you're acting all defensive about it.
I know. I just get confused. Anyways, they're working, there's an Alzheimer's vaccine that has been proven to work in animals, in test trials. Like, that's huge.
That is
because, like, Alzheimer's is a disease, mm-hmm. whereas dementia is, my wife and I recently looked into this.
Oh, nice.
But, like, if they could, like, you know, cure Alzheimer's, wouldn't you want to?
Absolutely.
You know? So, anyways, dementia is a syndrome, whereas Alzheimer's is a disease.
Right.
But regardless.
I'm so glad you said that instead of irregardless.
Irregardless?
Say irregardless.
Well, that's not a real word. Like saying literally. No, it's figuratively.
Right.
No, I'm literally going to rip your head off. Anyways. So this is not the first time that like a doctor show has done the I don't want to vaccinate my kids story.
Yeah. They all have to do it. It's like a rite of passage.
Right. Oh, and then the other story is the woman who has a tumor that doesn't allow her to say no and she acts on all her inhibitions.
Right. Right.
So she cheats
every
her
husband. Very House-esque.
Yeah.
So in fact, I think they had an episode of House.
Okay, David Shore.
David Shore, yeah. But I think that this was an episode of House.
Basically,
I know that they did one with the old woman who wanted House, and it turned out she had, like, syphilis or something.
Yeah.
And it had eaten away part of her brain, so it was making her have no inhibitions. But I think that they did another one like this with a tumor that made the person cheat. Yeah, because Dominic Purcell, I believe, was the husband.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. And he was like, it was the same thing. Like, she cheated and she didn't have a choice. And he's like, I don't care. You still cheated. And he left and went on to Legends of Tomorrow.
Whereas this guy here was like, all right, honey. You spent all our money and gave it all away to charities. And you slept with four other men. I guess I'll stay with you.
Right.
I don't know if I could.
No. Even if you found out that it was a tumor and they literally had no control. I mean, beyond being drunk, this is like you're not drunk, so you're not like you remember everything, but you have no control. You have no way to say no. It's almost like mind control at that point. If you think about it.
I guess if it ever happens, I'll address it then. Let's hope it doesn't happen.
See, I'd have no problem because, you know, at that point. But if they take the tumor out and then it happens again.
Well, then.
Relapse?
Shame on you, sir.
No, shame on that.
Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me.
I see.
The Rookie.
Yeah.
So, allegedly, it's a competition between the TOs. Okay, so is it the same training officers every time?
It must be.
Like, no one else trains but these three. Right?
Yep.
And only on day shift?
Yep. Because yep, there's no night shift. There's no overnight shift.
The tunnel vision on this show is it's day shift only.
Oh, dude. You know what my only note of this episode was? What? So the LAPD only has one dispatcher?
That's the other thing. Yeah, they walk in. This is LAPD. Okay? Now, if you notice...
Los Angeles Police.
And maybe they walk into this small room, and there was like 5 workstations. We have more than that in my room. And I didn't see any call takers, so maybe they're in another building, but she's literally just dispatching calls that pop up on the screen. Okay? Mm-hmm. Yeah. First of all...
But they're making the calls.
You're not going to dispatch, which is fine, because... In bigger call centers, they do have rooms that just take calls. They put the calls in. That's all they do. Yep. And then it goes to the next room where the calls pop up on their screen, and then they dispatch it out to the units.
Yeah, it's just like when you go to a restaurant, you know, and somebody at the counter takes your order.
Yeah.
And then this guy over here pulls the order.
Right. Pretty much the same thing, except unless they have their broken down by precincts, so they have dispatchers per precinct, which I'm assuming they don't. And the other thing, too, is when he's like, oh, can you stay on and work 3 more hours while we do this? And she's like, she goes, yeah, no problem. And she turns around and sits down. And before she puts her headset back on, a call pops on her screen. How the fuck wasn't she logged off and out of the system for her shift if she's leaving to go home? That means that call just popped up on that screen and no one was there to dispatch it because it was on her screen only.
And at one point, you do actually see, like, another guy sitting at another terminal near her.
Yeah.
But that's it. This is a closet that they're sitting in.
Oh. And she gets a armed robbery complaint with shots fired and gives it to one unit on the phone.
Yeah, one.
And doesn't give it to anybody over the radio.
Yeah, she's fired.
She doesn't have a job anymore.
Right. She is fired.
Yeah, yeah.
Dude, there was so much about this that I was just like, this is bullshit. It was ridiculous. And she had the headset on. I'm pretty sure she was talking to somebody at one point.
She had to have been, yeah.
So what are they saying? That, like, sometimes she takes calls if she feels like it? She just, you know, she just fills in here and there?
She's a mountain in Almond Joy.
I mean...
But the big one for me is she's all ready to go home, about ready to walk out the door. He's like, will you stay, like, 3 more hours? If you go have a drink with me, okay, I'll do it. All right, I'm going to sit back.
So she gets to set her own hours?
Apparently, she can just stay 3 more hours without issue.
Yeah.
You know, and doesn't log out of her computer when she's done, even though no one was going to sit there.
Right.
And a call pops up on her screen, and luckily she was there to dispatch it. Otherwise, it'd just be sitting there all night long.
Yep. And somebody would have died, probably. So.
Yeah, I found a lot of fault in this episode.
Yeah. And the whole thing was that they do this thing once a year where all the training officers take their rookies out and they play a game where they score arrests.
Now,
felony arrest is worth 7.
Now, let me ask you this.
Meters are worth 3. So it's football rule.
Do you think the LAPD only has 3 trainees at one time?
No. I also don't think that they only have one dispatcher at a time.
Or one shift?
I think that anybody who works for the LAPD that happens to listen to this can feel free to message us and laugh hysterically because we understand. We're a podunk town in Maine. I spent a year in the dispatch center. Mike's been there for 17 years.
That's so horrible.
It kind of does, but that's okay. The average burnout rate for a dispatcher is 6 years. So even if you put ours together, that's 3 dispatchers worth. That's 18 years, 3 dispatchers worth.
Yeah.
You're breaking convention, sir.
Yeah, I am. Yeah.
But anyway, so even in our podunk central Maine area.
Hey, I cover 11 counties geographically.
Geographically. That's up from 7.
Up from 7, yeah.
And there are only 16 in the state.
Yeah.
There's a population of 1.35 million people in Maine.
It's not a lot of people.
In Los Angeles, I think there's a population of like 8 or 9 million.
Right.
Just in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
That's not the state of California.
Right.
So, to have one dispatcher and 3 training officers with 3 rookies. Now, granted, I mean, the State Police of Maine brought out, what, 1 rookie a year?
No. No, their RTT class has a dozen people, typically.
5 graduated the year that I was working.
Okay, so 5 for RTT.
Well, it started with 6, but 1 drummed out.
But still, though, that's they do 2 a year.
So that's 5. No, they do 1 a year.
No, there's 2 RTTs a year.
No, there's 1.
This January?
No, they dropped down to 1.
They're having 1 this January. Mm-hmm. They just had 1 in August.
Really?
Yes, they do two a year. They do the RTT.
I heard they were dropping a one.
They do two a year right after the Academy's done. Because otherwise, you can't send a trooper through the BLEPI, which is the basic law enforcement academy. They can't go through the BLEPI, graduate in August, and then, I mean, not sorry, starts in August. They can't go through the BLEPI and graduate, like, in May, and then go FTO on the road with as a trooper, because then they'd have to stay with an FTO all the way to the next January.
Right.
So they do the RTT right after the academy. So they do two RTTs a year.
But still, that was five troopers
right
in one class.
Right.
And LAPD only has three?
Right. I mean, there's another, like I said, there's another RTT coming up this January, and I already know 11 that are in it.
Yeah.
And think about it. If you want to break it down even more.
It made the episode unfun when you're like, this is so unrealistic.
That's why I don't watch that show 911.
Right. Oh, Jesus. Even from the previews of that. 911, what's your emergency? Wrong!
Yeah.
Here is your emergency.
That's why I don't watch that show. Like
Cops.
I watch or Live PD. I watch
Campus Police.
I watch Law and Order, but I know I'm dealing with one precinct, one center, one set of detectives.
And also the law aspect of it, you know, the courtroom aspect. Right.
And they've said that's pretty realistic.
Mm.
And I do remember back in the original Law & Order run, maybe it was the first or second season, they did have a scene in the radio room that was very realistic.
Mm, nice.
I experienced that myself one time, what they had on the episode.
Nice.
But otherwise, that's why I don't watch 911. That's why I had a problem with a lot of it with this episode.
Yeah. But anyway, so they were doing this game where, you know, felonies are worth seven, and the captain comes right out and he's like, I do not approve of this. I'm not sanctioning it, blah, blah, blah. And Castle's, I love how he's just Castle.
Yeah.
Castle's TO is like, nope, we're not playing, period. And of course, you know, the Prodigy and his TO go out there and they immediately start making arrests. And, you know, asshole there, can't even remember his name, but the asshole TO.
Bradford.
He bribes the one dispatcher to send him the good calls so that they can get on the board. But basically, we find out that the other two TOs, always fudge the numbers so that he wins because him and his wife used to be the top.
Yeah.
They used to win every time, and now that he's broken up with her, they're like, would you really want to take that away from him now? You know, when he hasn't seen her in forever. And, well, he's seen her. Well, do you really want to take it away from him?
Right.
So they basically fudge the numbers so that he wins.
Which doesn't really do him any good.
No, it doesn't.
As you know, when you let someone win, it doesn't actually do them any good or teach them anything.
Yep.
All right. The Rookie. We watched that. I watched The Conners. I still like it. Funny half hour.
Yep.
Becky's pregnant.
Real Becky, not fake Becky.
Fake Becky was only in the Roseanne last season. She's not on The Conners.
Oh, she's not on The Conners at all.
Yeah. Fake Becky, that is.
Second, I love Sarah Chalk.
Second Becky. Sarah Chalk, whatever you call her. Anyway, so Becky's pregnant. That was something they tried to do last season, but she couldn't happen. And she's in her 40s and thought she was too old, but it kind of happened. Apparently the busboy at the restaurant, who doesn't speak much English, is the dad.
Oh, that's going to bring up a whole, you know, ICE and Dreamers and... Oh, Mike's choking. There we go.
That drink went down the wrong tube. Darlene gets a job at the local, like a local newspaper thing.
Okay.
And
they still have those?
Apparently they do on this show.
Hmm.
And the owner, editor, proprietor is very much like her as far as being a brash, sarcastic person.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoy his character already.
Nice.
It's good. They play off each other well, so there's clearly a love interest there.
That's
for the future. It's funny. The Kids Are All Right was a boxing episode. The show's just fun. This is going to be one of those shows that's going to be on for a long time.
Yep.
And it's just fun, and I enjoy it.
Nice.
No Good Place, No Superstore.
Nope.
They're back on 12/6.
Yep.
And again, a lot of the other NBC shows are going on a leave after this. I didn't watch any movies.
I watched two movies, but I also finished two shows.
All right, what'd you finish?
I started and finished The Kominsky Method.
Oh,
Netflix.
Yeah, how was that?
Eh.
Yeah.
It's pretty good. Basically, Michael Douglas is an aged yeah, acting coach. And he's okay. coached some of the greats.
Oh, okay.
He's never been an actor himself.
Hence, you know, method.
Yeah, because okay. people don't want to, you know, go up against an acting coach in acting. It's good. It's older people living their lives, and, you know, his best friend, his wife dies in, like, the first episode. But it was, like, a long, drawn-out death. You know, she's been sick for a while, and yeah. she dies. So the rest of the episodes are them having some fun. There's some funny stuff, some touching stuff. Lisa Edelstein's in it
yep.
as the four-time rehab washout daughter of his best friend. His best friend is he was Saul in the Ocean's movies.
Yeah, okay.
The one who always yeah. dressed up. Yeah. And he does a very good job. He talks to his wife regularly, even though she's dead. So they brought the actress in to play, like, the ghost / illusion. Right. But it's definitely an older show. You know, they're aged and...
Sounds like...
Not of a certain age.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's... Or the cool kids, you know. It's a good show. It's not bad. It's like 8 episodes long. They're each half an hour.
Oh, okay. That's
on Netflix. I also finished The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina. I was about halfway through it before.
How's that?
It's good.
Yeah.
It's not great. It's very dark. I know I've said that, but basically in this one, witches gain their power from Satan.
Oh, you geez, know? That is dark.
Oh, yeah. Everything is, you know, our dark lord, dark baptisms. You know, Satan wants your soul for his power. But it's not, they don't look at it as evil. They just look at it as another source of power.
How old is Sabrina in this?
She's supposed to be 16. She's played by a 19-year-old actress who's allergic to cats.
She's wearing leather hot pants at all?
I don't think so.
Then I'm sticking with Melissa Joan Hart.
There's death.
Yep.
There's a lot of dark twistedness. She has some friends who are her Scooby gang, and each of them in their own way, in their own path, kind of discovers the truth about witches. Like, basically, when Sabrina turns 16, she has to go through the dark baptism. Choice. You know, her father was a high priest of the church and her mother was a mortal. So everyone kind of doesn't like her because she's a half breed. She's okay. in both worlds. But basically at 16, she signs her name in Satan's book and she now has to give up her human life and become a witch and go to this special academy, you know, Hogwarts for the damned.
Yeah.
And, but she basically gets out of it. She's like, nope, don't want to do it. And finds a way out of it. And a lot of these episodes are like that. A lot of yeah. these episodes are, oh, it's going to be this way no matter what. And then they find a way out. It's good. I recommend it for people who like that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
You know, they do name drop Riverdale a few times.
Oh, that's funny.
Because, you know, in the comics, there's the river. Riverdale's right. here, Greendale's here.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's got some dark stuff, and they definitely set up the next season. There's going to be a Christmas special in December.
Nice.
Standalone episode.
Cool.
Yep. Now I have to ask, because you were saying that you didn't watch any movies. Have you watched The Guest Book?
No.
Okay.
But I did watch, I've watched 6 episodes of Sam Against Evil now.
I've watched all 8.
So I have 2 left. I was going to try to watch the other 2, but I just didn't get to it. But I did watch.
Okay.
6 episodes. I watched all the way up to Vampire Creek, where they get sucked through the mirror into the.
By
Vampire Creek World.
By yeah, McLovin.
By McLovin, yeah. And, yeah.
Yeah. That was interesting. I loved the Nubbins episode.
Nubbin Got Trouble with the puppets?
Yes.
Yeah, that was creepy.
Yeah. I love how the opening thing, it was like, you know, expensive drone shot over a cemetery. It was either this or a rap party.
Yeah.
Enjoy your fucking drone shot. I will tell you this. So the last 2 episodes, one, I don't know if they're going to have another season.
Okay.
But in the 7th episode.
Yes.
Pay very close attention to some of the stuff that he says when he's laying on his back in the chair. Or I think he's in a chair. Yeah. But pay very close attention to what he says because you're going to laugh.
Okay.
Oh, you're going to enjoy it.
All right, cool. I will. Because oh, yeah. I did notice.
It
does,
it's like you go, wait, did he just say? And then he follows it up with something else. You go, he did.
Okay. Because I did see, like, in a couple of the episodes, I think, like, the demon who came in from the heat. He's a little Dr. Cox-ish in that one.
Yes.
I'm seeing much more Dr. Cox, if you will, in this season than others.
Yeah, you're going to see a lot of it.
I imagine.
It's a Cox-ish kind of season.
Nice.
But yeah, so the demon who came in from the Heat?
Yeah.
That's it?
Oh, I thought you were going to go with more than that.
No.
Just
remember, I watched this a couple weeks ago.
True. Okay, so that's the episode of...
This was after the Moth.
It was after the Moth, and it was the episode where Stan's toilet's clogged and calls a plumber, and the plumber shows right up, and he's like, I just got the phone with you. Well, like, sorry for your great service. I like that. And it turns out the plumber's the demon, but he's really bad at his job.
Right.
And so, they go through the whole thing, and at the end, he tricks them. Yeah, he tricks them.
He basically tricks them because he plays incompetent the whole time.
Yes, exactly. And he tricks them into, setting themselves to hell, but then this guy shows up and rips his head off, and it breaks the spell. And this, we see this guy killing people through the whole episode, and finally, who are you? I'm the soul eater, soul taker, soul collector.
Yeah.
Yeah, but who are you really? My name's Tom. I just escaped from the Satan Asylum.
It's kind of like with the Moth episode, the guy who just kept running around town in the gorilla suit. Yeah. They're like, yeah, the gorilla suit. Well, he came to save them.
Yeah. And so, Evie. Shoots and kills him.
Yeah.
And then we get the whole scene of the deputies getting his ass handed to him by this guy. And so he shows up and he starts beating him with his smart nightstick. And he's hitting him with it. And you hear, broken femur. Da-da-da. You burned 11 calories. You know, it's just, I enjoyed the smart nightstick.
I love the smart nightstick. He's like, if they hold it wrong, they get electrocuted. And then he holds it wrong.
No, he goes, yeah, if someone else tries to hold it, they don't recognize that person and it electrocutes them, or if I hold it wrong.
Yeah, and then it happens.
But yes, that was a good one. The Nubbin But Trouble. They're in the house together, in Kevin's house.
That was just a weird episode.
It was fun. It was like puppets that I kept waiting for them to do, give me the power, I beg of you, when he was bringing all the other puppets to life, but it didn't happen.
Yeah.
The deputy shoots the puppet. One of them shoots him right in the head. And he said, oh, good thing you killed one of the shot. And he goes and empties his clip on him. 16 more rounds. Because my gun's in the car.
Right. Yeah.
So
my favorite part of this episode was the fact that Stan was brewing his own beer.
Yes.
And he took one sip and went blind. But then suddenly he becomes like a monk. He's like, I can feel all of my senses getting better. Yeah. Like he could hear that she had changed her shirt because the different thread count was screaming at him.
She's like, I made you a sandwich. Is that the heel?
Yeah.
I didn't think it would matter because you can't see it, you know.
He's like, it's too late. Dark forces are already conspiring on this. And then he throws the knife at the puppet. It sticks in its arm, and the puppet throws it back at him, and he catches it.
Yeah. And then, cuts the puppet arms off, rips his leg off, rips his ear off. The puppet crawls away. I mean, it's just hilarious.
It was.
Yeah.
We're coming for you tonight, Stan. Yeah, you got to check out the last
one. So why don't you think there's going to be a new season? It's just how it ends?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it kind of ended feeling like...
Well, I'm not going to lie. I'm surprised we got 3 seasons.
I am too. But yeah, it kind of felt like this may have been wrapping it up.
Okay.
It wasn't completely definitive, but I think when you watch it, you'll be like, oh.
All right.
But yeah, the next episode is the intensive scare unit.
Yeah.
So it takes place in a hospital.
Well, okay. Well then, yeah. There's lots of Dr. Cox stuff going on probably if they're in the hospital.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I might go watch it when we're done this before I go to bed.
Nice.
What were the movies you watched?
One of them, I went to the theater and I saw Bohemian Rhapsody.
How's that?
It was a good movie.
Yeah.
I had no idea until I watched this what a self-absorbed prick Freddie Mercury was.
Really?
Yeah. When he performed, he really performed for the audience. I mean, that was it. He loved his audience and when they wrote some of their songs, they wanted to involve the audience.
Right.
And if you think back on it, a lot of Queen's most popular songs were anthems.
Yep.
You know? Fat Bottom Girls, Killer Queen,
yep.
We Will Rock You, We Are the Champions, Bohemian Rhapsody. I mean, these were all You're My Best Friend,
yep.
Don't Stop Me Now. These are all anthem-type songs. And every one of them that I listed, you could probably think of a movie where you've seen it.
Oh, yeah.
But... outside of the performance, he was completely self-absorbed. And the thing is, he hated himself, so he needed to constantly have people praising him and being there for him. he wasn't self-absorbed, like, I need you to help me. But he just basically was like, no, this is the Freddy show. No, this is what we're going to do. His original name was Farouk, by the way.
Oh.
Yeah. They did a good job of giving background. They focused more on the band than anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, of course, there was a lot going on with Freddy, but this was a PG-13 movie, so you didn't get to see any explicit sex.
Okay. Yeah.
You got to see a few things, like at one point somebody looks at the table and they see cocaine spread out in a little thing, but you never get to see anybody doing the drugs. You don't see a lot of the partners, though you do, you know, you see the tabloids and you hear the news reports and stuff like that.
So it's all there and implied, and they tell you, but it's not blatant.
Right. And part of that's the PG-13, and part of it's because they really just wanted to focus on the band. And it's really cool in that respect. I enjoyed it. And, of course, the music is great because it's Queen.
Amazing. It's Queen.
But, yeah, it gave me a whole new understanding of Freddy. He was only 45 when he died.
Really? That's it?
Yeah. That's about the time that Stan Lee actually started, like, becoming popular and making good comics.
Yeah. I saw something the other day, and it kind of helps me. I want to be a writer. tried, and yada, yada, yada. And I saw someone post something the other day showing, like, all these different authors who are very popular and how old they were when their first novel was actually published. A lot of them were in their 50s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because a lot of them, their writing was based on experience of life.
Yeah.
So, you know, you don't have a lot of experience early in life.
No.
Then you got the Stephen Kings who buck that trend.
Right.
So. Or the J.K. Rowlings, et
cetera. Right.
Or the idiot who wrote the Twilight books. Or the 50 Shades books. Morons. The other movie that I watched was Cam.
Okay, so you watched Cam.
Yes.
And?
I see what you mean.
Yeah.
It kind of like the trailer, it never really decided what it wanted to be.
Right, yeah.
Like, was it a horror movie? Was it a suspense movie?
Right.
Was it a story to talk to us about the exploitation of women on the internet, or the exploitation of men in most cases?
Yeah.
It felt like it could have been really good at any one of those things, but it never really was any of them.
Yeah, it never really did establish. Yeah, it wasn't bad.
No.
You know, creative story, I guess. You know, do you understand?
The ending was really weird.
Yes, it was.
Like how she tricked the amorphous monster that Tinker Toy knew all about. And he's like, oh, I can always tell who it's going to pick. But we never get any further than that. Like, there was no explanation. There was nothing.
Basically, I mean, it's been on a couple of weeks now, so if you don't want to hear a spoiler, then skip out a few
minutes. For a very mediocre movie.
Yeah. Popular, you have the cam girls. They broadcast themselves in their room and get guys to pay them money to do different things. And then
from eating to writing to
spanking themselves to masturbating to,
or if you're princess, non-nude stuff, you know,
right. And, or just sitting there talking or whatever it is.
Reading a book.
Yeah. So
eating pizza.
Right. Whatever it is, they pay these cam girls to do all this stuff. And basically what happens is when one gets really, really, really popular, somehow some computer AI, something or other, I don't know, uses all the past footage to digitally dupe them.
Yeah.
Take over their accounts and keep running online. But it's not them. It's all like CGI or right. Computer generated.
And I had a theory because she discovers later on that this isn't just happening to her.
No, it's happening to a lot of girls, including one that's dead.
But I think they were all dead. I think that was the thing. Because remember, this all started the night that somebody told her to take out the knife, and she faked cutting her own throat.
Yeah.
So technically she was dead. So I feel like the system takes over when they die, because that girl that was having the makeout session with her and the two of them were on camera together.
Well, had been dead for 6 months.
6 months. Which, that was some great detective work on her part.
Yeah, it was good stuff.
Luring that guy out there and, yeah.
But anyway, so yeah, so essentially she somehow sets up a thing, almost like a mirror trap, where she puts her board behind her and has them put their board behind them and gets the people room to vote on. I mean, it's
because as she says, she doesn't even know what she looks like.
Yeah, like when the camera. Yeah. Anyways, regardless, it was.
it could have been really good in a lot of ways. Like if this had taken out the supernatural aspect and it had just focused on the cam girl thing, you know, the fact that this is an interesting world, you know, you saw like all the money that these people were tipping them.
Yes.
Yeah. Or buying them stuff on their Amazon wish list and stuff. Yep. And even her mom, you know, at first is like, I can't believe. And then she's like, wow, I saw you. You were good. Why can't you be that confident in real life?
So at the end, she figures out how to get her life back from this computer thing.
By deleting the account?
Yeah. And then she puts on a wig and gets a fake ID and then creates a new account, starts all over again at the end.
Like, and her mom's like, what if it happens again? Well, then I'll deal with it.
Yeah.
So
I need I don't money.
Even, so I don't even know what the lesson was. Or the
I don't think there was a lesson. I don't know.
Like, if it had been all about just the world of the cam girls and how cutthroat it can be and how crazy it can be, go through that, and then she does it at the end again, then, you know, you could say, well, maybe it was just that, you know, she needed this in her life, or she once a cam girl, always a cam girl. But then it had the horror and, you know, she met two guys in real life that were her, you know, followers.
Yes.
And these guys are like big shots. You know, I decide who's in the number one position. I decide what happens here. Or Tinker Toy, you know, the number one friend of all the top cam models. And, you know, if it had been the whole disconnect between cam girl world and real world and stuff like that, that would have been an interesting story. If they had gone full on supernatural and it had turned out that, you know, something in the internet has been created, but it just...
Yeah. It wasn't very specific.
No, there was never
And anything. Essentially, like, you know, she tricks into getting the username and password and then deletes the account.
Mm-hmm. And then starts over with a new one. Hi, guys.
Yeah. Again, you get to see some boobies.
Yeah.
Oh,
I saw a nice little cameo in there. When she's at her brother's birthday party and she comes in the house and puts the cake down. And, there's that girl who's like, you know, oh, take a picture of me. Oh, I look so ugly. That was Nora West Allen.
Oh, was it?
Yep.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, sure. Her hair was longer. But... And she was only there for like 5 seconds and then.
Oh, no. We see her later on that same scene looking disappointed.
Oh, yeah.
Because, we saw her at like the grocery store.
Oh, was she?
Yeah, that was where she met her at the grocery store and invited her to the party.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yes.
Yeah, so we see her a little bit more, but she's not a cam girl.
Yeah.
So is that everything for you then?
That's everything.
All right, here's my last bit of news.
All right, here we go.
So,
I heard it.
Huh? What?
I said, oh, I heard it.
No, you didn't. Hold on.
Oh, hold on. He's getting it up.
I want news article.
Giggity.
So, all right. Boris Johnson. He is like a UK foreign secretary or something like that. He was doing a speech.
Okay.
Talking about how great Northern Ireland is, and you know everything is going to be happening in Northern Ireland. And one of the things he said in his speech was that even George Lucas is filming his new Obi-Wan Kenobi movie here.
Interesting.
So it's now sparked a thing that George Lucas is directing the Obi-Wan Kenobi Star Wars spinoff.
I'd be okay with that, I think. Because Lucas liked the character.
But it's a funny, like, he was done with it. Probably because it consumed his life.
Well, not only that.
He sold it for like $4 billion.
Right. And now he keeps trying to get his foot back in the door, and they keep pushing him out and saying, stop.
Yeah.
Huh. Why did I?
So that's the rumor. But again, Disney hasn't confirmed it, and Lucasfilm hasn't confirmed it. Or anything of that nature. And it could just be George Lucas talking to somebody saying, hey, this is what I want to do.
Right.
Could be him trying to, like, maybe force his way back into the mix.
Or it could just be a desperate person in Ireland saying, please come visit our country.
Northern Ireland.
You might see.
Yeah. But yeah, I thought that was kind of interesting.
It is interesting.
So I'd like to see where that goes forward, going forward where that goes.
Absolutely.
That's it. I don't have any trailers to speak of. I don't have any news to speak of anymore. I got no other movies I watched. So, I guess, yeah.
I think that's about it for me, too.
Cool, cool, cool. All right. Well, hey, thanks for listening. And that's the show.
Where are you on Twitter?
Oh, I'm Superstar ML.
I'm the Quantum Geek G33K.
Thanks.
We'll talk to you next week, folks.
Bye.